Hey, TD. Sorry we couldn't be there with you. We hope to come back, and hopefully by the end of the evening we'll be there, but you never know. We are, as you know, we coach the girls' team at Maranatha High School in tennis. So we're in the middle of CIF playoffs right now, and our match today, our second round match, is at Laguna Blanca in Santa Barbara. So by the time you watch this, we should be heading back from Santa Barbara and driving down, and hopefully we'll get there by the end of TD. Hopefully with a victory, but you never know. But anyway, I haven't done this in probably 20 years with respect to giving the message or the directions on screen, on the video here, but we're going to give it a shot, okay? So why don't we pray together as we go ahead and enter into God's Word, and hopefully, even though I'm not there alive, the Holy Spirit can use this time and what we're about to do for His purposes. So would you pray with me? God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the life that You give us. And if we are alive today, it's for a reason. You give us life fresh each day. It's not like You just start us off and walk away. But each day You have ordained for us specifically to be here. And if You have, for what? For this time, Lord, we want to be able to hear from You, to engage with You, to wrestle and to struggle and to be sharpened, so that we could be about Your business better. Some of us here do not know You yet, and I pray for them that they would be open to hearing what You, the God of their lives and the universe, would have to say to them, because You made them. And for those who do know You but who are struggling, I pray, God, that tonight would even be a kickstart, a reinvigoration of a life that they started but maybe have taken a break from, or have slidden back into an old life, old way of thinking. And for those who are vibrant by Your grace today, I pray that this would just serve as fuel for the journey. So we pray that we could honor You either way, any way that we're coming to You, and that we could just come to You openly and sincerely and just ask You to meet us. I pray that You'll help me as I kind of work through this new format, and that You'll help the TDers as well as they listen from a new format as well, and that won't be a distraction for us, but that it will allow us still to be able to facilitate, whatever way possible, the apprehension and the wrestling with Your Word. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last month, we started our new series, Renew, and it's about transforming our lives in Christ. And I asked you whether you need to have your lives transformed. Most of you raised your hand. That's the right answer. What can I say? We need our lives transformed. We need our lives to be taking a different direction, drinking from a different well, using different fuel, having a new navigation system in order to be able to live a life that will be able to continue fruitfully from this life to the next. Because if we're not going to embrace the new pattern and the new way and the new life and the new heart, the new spirit that God is giving us, or has at least offered to give to us and will give to those who ask Him for it, who surrender, who submit and say, Lord, not my will be done but Yours. Lord, I need Your forgiveness. Lord, it's all about You, not me. I don't know anything about You, but I know that You want me. And I know that I don't measure up. Would You please forgive me? Would You please help me? Would You please turn my life around? For those who can pray that and have received new life, well, there's a life coming. There's a life coming that you will be fit for, retooled, re-engineered for. But for those who want to hang on to this life, and those who think, hey, you know, I like this life, this is the life I want to live, and I have my own dreams here, and I have my own desires and my own plan, this is where I want to end up, well, then sadly for you, this will be your life. 70, 70, 70. Maybe tomorrow, this will be your life, and then comes the judgment according to the Bible. My prayer for you is that you would receive real life. The Bible says, now we see dimly, kind of like a window that has got film all over it. You see what's out there, but in very hazy colors, not very clearly, not very sharply. You have an idea. The Bible says that's what life is like on this earth. But he says, when we get there, when we get to heaven, and if we are privileged to be his children by surrendering our lives now and dying to ourselves, which is what we talked about last month, dying to live. If that happens, he says, HD, 5 dimensions, 6 dimensions, 7 dimensions, I mean, understanding and clarity, and not only that, but apprehension of joy, of life, of being able to see clearly, hear clearly, think clearly, and not only clearly, but in the way that we were intended and originally designed to. That awaits those who are in Christ. So I pray that that would be your life. Today you can do that. Today you can pray with a leader. And we can usher you, we can introduce you to the God who made you. And you can start walking into his design and the reason for which he made you. But that isn't going to happen until you die to yourself. And that's what we studied last month. The message is on the blog. The Bible study is on the blog. Please look it up. Please get reintroduced to what's necessary. It's called Dying to Live. And we studied verse 1 out of Romans chapter 12. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. That's the only measurement we need to care about. That's the only judge we need to care about, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Today we're going to look at verse 2 as we continue to march through the entirety of Romans chapter 12. By the end of this month, you should have Romans chapter 1 and Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2 memorized, because we want to have that memorization start to become part of who we are and how we think. And you can't make that part of you unless that becomes ingrained in you and part of your makeup, part of your DNA, as it were. And so we've got to memorize if the Lord is going to use what's in us. But today, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect or complete. The phrase, do not be conformed to this world, also can be translated, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And the reason why I introduce that is to introduce to you the idea that what is happening in this world isn't random, isn't haphazard, it isn't just what is going on by chance. But there is a pattern to it, there's an idea, there is a flow. You know, like those of you who like to sew, you sew according to a pattern. Those of you who, you know, like maybe want to become an architect one day in the future, you're going to be in the business of building blueprints or crafting blueprints that will be a plan for which the building will be made. When the pattern is followed, the material of the pattern conforms to the pattern. That's what our idea is to build the material, shape it, cut it, do whatever you want with it according to the patterns that were set, that we're following. That's how the house takes its form. We look extensively at the blueprints, and then the builders and the engineers starts to build accordingly. Well, my favorite example is that of Jell-O, because I love Jell-O. I always said, I think I'll do well in a convalescent home when I don't have any teeth, because they're going to serve me Jell-O. Red Jell-O, that's my favorite type. But my favorite example is Jell-O, because when you put that liquid in, and all it is liquid into this mold, say a Winnie the Pooh mold, for instance, and you take that mold, and when you just pour it out, nothing happens. It's still liquid. The Jell-O solution is still there. But what happens when you pour that Jell-O liquid mixture into the mold, and then you put it into the fridge? The next morning it comes out, you turn it over, and lo and behold, there's Winnie the Pooh looking at you right in the face. It conformed to the image of the mold. Well, God is saying that this world has a mold, and the Father of this world, not the Lord, but he says the prince of the power of the air, the father of this age, the devil, has a pattern, has a mold that he wants to fit you into. There is a blueprint that Satan is trying and unfortunately succeeding in many instances to get you to fit into, especially Christians, whom he hates more than anyone. He wants God to be dishonored. And so I want to say to you that Satan has a blueprint. Do you know what it is? He has a blueprint. Do you know if you are actually inadvertently and subconsciously being fitted and molded into that blueprint? Two books I would highly recommend. One is by C.S. Lewis called The Screwtape Letters. The other is called Lord Fulgrin's Letters by Randy Alcorn. Both are similar in nature. One is a little bit more modern, but they both are extremely insightful into the human condition and into the way Satan operates and how he stumbles Christians. The Screwtape Letters is written from a senior, actually both of them are, written from a senior devil to a letters written from a senior devil to a junior devil in the art of deceiving Christians and bringing them to their doom. How does he go about it? And he continues to tutor his disciple, Wormwood, I think, or is that the, I think it's Wormwood, into how to go about deceiving. So he assigns Wormwood a client, as it were, or someone to stumble. And as Wormwood goes back and forth with him, he gives him tips and mentors him on how to get it done right. It's very fascinating, and you'll find yourself all over the book. But that might be a good read for you to kind of consider as to how Satan may be able, may be trying to conform you to his mold. Unfortunately, I am sad to say that we all too often buy into this this blueprint because it comes in the form of very seductive means that really titillate the senses. And so we have to be people who are able to have our senses under our control and not our senses leading us. Feelings are amazing things. I'm a very feeling person, emotional person. But I can't let those emotions lead me. But I can let them kind of inform me, give me a clue, or even help me do better what I want to do or I need to do or I'm called to do. Feelings are amazing. But they're not good leaders. But they're wonderful followers. Great slaves, terrible masters. But oftentimes, through feelings, through senses, Satan has gotten us to look, to joke, to play, to think, to act, to affect the way we strive, the way we dream, what our goals even are. I have a question for you. Let's say Martians descend on the planet tomorrow, and they come to the San Gabriel Valley, and they take a sampling of 5-6 different homes that they are invisibly able to look into. Let's say that they choose 4 homes that just happen to be non-Christian, but from good people, but non-Christian, and just people. And let's say they also chose yours. And let's say they chose you, your room, and they were able to trail you invisibly, as well as the 4 or 5 other people, for a week, let's say, observing what you do, taking notes, seeing what drives you, doing their own research, as it were, to bring back to Mars. I wonder, when they go back to Mars, would they be able to tell any difference? Would they be able to report a difference in the way you live, the way you think, the way you conduct yourself, the way you dream, the way you operate, the way you treat people, the way you treat yourself, than any of the other people that they chose? Or would it be kind of maybe very, very similar at its core, maybe just superficially different? Maybe you go to a building on a Sunday and they see that, and then you kind of sit there for a long time, kind of like you do at school, and then you leave and then you go do the same thing. I mean, would it be that? Or would they see somehow your spirit nurse? Would they see something overcoming you, that you're possessed by something beyond yourself and you're moved and motivated and you live in a way that is different from the inside out? Just a question to consider. I hope not all the difference that they would see would be a 20-second prayer or 5-minute reading of a book that with a black cover. Although I don't know if you guys do that these days, so maybe it's just looking at that rectangular thing that we call a cell phone. But would they be able to see a fundamental difference in your philosophy or goal? Would they be able to tell that there's a God whom you love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Would they see a different operating system in your life? They need to see that of Christians, because Christians are new creations. Christians don't follow Satan's blueprint. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, could you do that? Ephesians chapter 2. I'll give you a second. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 is an illustration, or it's a verse, it's a passage, I should say, kind of illustrating what I want to show you. Because if we are to be transformed and not conformed, Ephesians 2 shows us a great juxtaposition, a contrast in what was formerly and what now is or ought to be. It starts like this. And you were dead. It's talking about our former life. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Formerly and now. And he says, among them, formerly, your former life, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, formerly indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, past tense, by nature, in our own born nature, children of wrath, even as the rest. That's us, and that's those who now live according to the flesh, and us who used to. But then he contrasts that and says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ, alive, dead. You see the contrast? It can't be any more contrasted than that, death and life. Made us alive together with Christ. And what else did he do? Raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in order that in the ages to come, which is coming in the future, he might show the surpassing riches of grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And there you see the difference between death and life, the former and the new, the old and the new. That really illustrates that pretty well, don't you think? Now, I do realize that many Christians, and maybe you're some of them, try to embrace this transformed life while at the same time trying to retain the pattern of the old life. And so you try to do both. You try to straddle the fence and see if you can kind of get the security of heaven and the power of God that you like, and maybe the forgiveness of sins and whatnot. And at the same time, still get to enjoy the dreams that you have and the ways that you go about living life and the things that titillate your soul. I'd like you to try to imagine something with me, if you would. Imagine a caterpillar. Okay, I've used this last month, and let's take it further, because we have caterpillars in our yard, and we've had taken many of them in and brought them into our homes and seen them become transformed. But say you imagine a caterpillar that was being transformed, that took on a new internal disposition, a new life within, an inside life, that the new dimension to his inner man, or inner caterpillar, I should say, was to fly, that the disposition now is to fly, to view things while airborne as a butterfly. And yet, imagine that caterpillar staying in the form of a caterpillar, but yet now having the desire and the dream to fly, or to flap its wings, but yet still only had little legs, or maybe has a new dream and a new vision to soar and take in the beautiful landscape below from above, and yet was confined physically in reality to look up from below. The dream was to look down from above, but it's stuck looking up from below. A new disposition to dart and flutter about, and yet it could only crawl centimeter by centimeter. How immensely frustrating would that be, do you think? To be totally transformed on the inside, having the now having the desire and the vision and the hopes of flying and soaring and fluttering and looking gorgeous, and yet actually still being stuck as a caterpillar. Spikes. Can I say it? Ugly. And only able to slink around, crawling here and there. That'd be so frustrating. And yet, that is exactly how some of you feel in your Christian life, isn't it? You feel like, I am a new creation. I've received Jesus. I've surrendered my life to Him. I want this new life. I want to soar as a Christian, but you're stuck. And you feel like you're just like the old guy, and you're just stuck with a new idea, but in an old position. That's the struggle, isn't it? The new mind that God has given you, the new spirit that He's given you, wants transformation. And yet, you feel like the real you, or the you that you've known all your life, wants confirmation. The new you wants transformation into what God wants. The old you wants confirmation to stay with the status quo, the way things are down on earth. Maybe just a better version, a better life of what already has been. Romans 6 and 7, Paul says, I'm governed by a new principle. I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do. Oh, wretched man that I am, this is so frustrating. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to help me? He expresses. You know, in order for you and I to ensure that we will successfully become transformed, Jesus took it upon Himself to take a straitjacket. Imagine if you and I could never move anymore and we're in a straitjacket. Jesus did that by becoming human. God, a very God, fully God, 100% God, in every way God, able to do anything He wants, took the form of a human, became in the likeness of men, constricted Himself, reduced Himself, emptied Himself, as Philippians 2 says, in that what's called the kenotic Him, the kenosis, the self-emptying, so that He could become like us. A butterfly becoming like a caterpillar, so that He could redeem the caterpillars and free them up so they could become one day butterflies. That's what He did. So Philippians 2 says, have this attitude in yourselves. This is how this is going to start for us, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore also God highly exalted Him. So He went down so that God could lift Him up and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, and that's not the name, every knee should bow, those that are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess, here comes the name, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the name. That's the name that God bestows on him when he, quote unquote, died to himself. And it is only through dying to ourselves can we find true life. It's the only way, brothers and sisters. TD, please, wake up. We must decrease. He must increase. It's your only hope. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says that God the Father made him who knew no sin. There's only one who qualifies for this, by the way. Jesus. To become sin. Why? So that we, it says, might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the operative term, in him. We might become righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ. But he had to become the filth of man in us for that to happen. He wants you and I to be completely transformed. That's what the whole business of sanctification is about. He wants us to have a new thought, a new idea, a new vision, new allegiance, new loyalty, new direction, new hope, new strength, new power, new beauty, new smile, new destiny, new peace. He wants that for you desperately, so desperately that he said, I'll be willing to undergo the misery of becoming human and forsaking my godness so that I can free them and release them. And in not only release, we're not going to be released to ourselves, but indwell them. Transform their inner man, indwell, continue the remodeling or rebuilding project, I should say, until it comes to fruition and that we will be completely transformed to be like Jesus. That is the biggest blowing of my mind in Scripture to me. There's so much in Scripture that blows my mind. But the biggest one, I think, to me is that me, Arthur Shea, wretched man that I am, is one day going to be like Jesus. That's crazy. I'm going to be like Jesus? It can't come soon enough. And can you imagine that one day you will be like him? If you are in him, if the Holy Spirit is in you, and you let go so he can work and have his will with you, that's your destiny. That you will become like him. And that is the highest honor, the highest entitlement there is in the universe. Nothing is more beautiful than that. And that can be yours. Do not be conformed to this world, he says. How's this going to happen? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's going to happen with a mind transformation. The word transformation is metamorphosis. That's the title of this lesson. Metamorphosis. It's the word used to describe complete change for the better. Bottom line, for a new butterfly to live, the old caterpillar must die. There are no two ways about it. For the new butterfly to live, the old caterpillar must die. And for you and I to truly live, the old us must die as well. Well, we have a video clip here. I showed you part of a video clip from a documentary called Metamorphosis last time. And I know some of you were blown away, as was I, by how amazing it was. I got another clip from there here. So I'm going to go ahead and let Daniel show this clip, and then we'll come back afterwards, okay? Let me see if I know how to push the pause button on this thing, because like I said, I haven't done this in a while.